Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Good afternoon and welcome into WEEI Afternoons. Here on a Fitzy, I'm going to call it a festive football Friday again, even though I think I said that last week leading up to a massive football game during the holiday season, and it led to a really disappointing loss, and here we are wondering if the Patriots can avoid a losing streak. Lose to the Bills.
You know what? Make this a more festive football Friday.
Super festive.
Super festive.
Isn't that what the NFL does? Wild card weekend became super wild card weekend. So, yes.
We're going to have so much freaking fun to have Danny Kaye tap, tap, tap it.
That's right. So, this is a super festive football Friday on WEEI Afternoons. You have Ravens-Patriots Sunday night football in Baltimore. Patriots, do they need to win this game? No. As Tom Curran just articulated on our show from yesterday, that you can lose this game, still win the division, still be the number two seed. You're probably not going to catch the Broncos for the one seed. So you kind of are what you are in terms of the standings and the seeding and the road that's going to come your way come January. But the flip side of that coin, Fitzy, is perception is reality. And I mean that both outside of Gillette Stadium, but also inside of Gillette Stadium, because those are still human beings, correct, in that Gillette Stadium locker room, the home locker room there?
Last I checked, they were people.
Yeah, so they're people. So you can't tell me if you lose at home, blow the second half against the Bills, and then go on the road Sunday night football against Lamar and the Ravens, a 500 football team this year, Lamar not an MVP candidate, and you lose again, and you have your first losing streak of the season in late December, the week of Christmas. I think they may start to doubt themselves, and I know for sure there'll be plenty of doubters outside of Gillette Stadium if they lose again.
I think we've been discussing this for a while, Andy, how, like, it's funny, there were so many different goals of this football team, and I think I listed a bunch of them off yesterday, and they've basically accomplished most, if not all of them on the season, save make it to the playoffs and win a playoff game. But one of the more recent ones has been find a way to hold the fool's gold crowd at bay. Don't give them any fodder for their cannon. Don't, you know, don't feed the animals at the zoo behind the cage, if you will. And if they go out Sunday, even as injured as they are, and I'm going to give them the excuse card to a certain degree because they are banged up, like office party next morning, banged up right now. That crowd's going to get louder and louder, and then their ability to ignore the noise will get further tested each and every week. And Mike Vrabel, who has done coach of the year work and then some, his job's going to get harder and harder by the day.
So it is a Patriots Friday here on WEEI Afternoons, and you know what that means. Early in the show, about 10 minutes from now, we're expecting to speak with the special teams coordinator, Jeremy Springer. If you were listening late in Jones and Keefe, you heard Brendan Schooler, so we get a little back-to-back special teams chatter here on WEEI. And we'll have our build-up with Ted Johnson. Interesting football game. I don't want to steal his thunder, because we know he's Mr. Thunder himself. Red zone defense versus red zone offense for the Ravens. Interesting matchup in this game, and I'll leave it at that. I think we'll get to that a little bit later. And Jeremy Springer, obviously we're going to have to talk to him about some less than ideal kick coverage last week against the Bills that played a field position issue in that game.
Andy, he's one of our guys.
I mean,
he's definitely like, he's a show. You've got your guys. I've got my guys. He's a guy that belongs to the show. Jeremy Springer is a dude. Max vibes. That said, this is the first time we're ever going to have to ask him like something resembling a pointed question, because I need to know, what the hell happened to their special teams last weekend? Like, it was a significant contributor to a disappointing defeat.
So we'll get those answers from Coach Springer in a little under 10 minutes from now. But we get an instant reaction to what I said, that they don't need to win this football game for the standings or anything like that. And the 508 immediately says, how do they not need to win this game? If they lose, their biggest win would have come in early October. And so what? You lose this game and you win the next two. Dan Ball gives me the numbers. It's a 76% chance you'll be the two seed. That's about the best you can ask for right now is the two seed. And you'll be at Gillette Stadium and you'll be hosting a playoff game. Like, do we care what Cam Newton thinks? That sounds like a person in the 508 that cares. You said try to ward off the fraud patrol or the fool's gold crowd, Fitzy.
Yes, sir. Yes,
that sounds
sir.
Like somebody there in the 508 that cares what those people think. And it's not ideal. I'm not saying it's ideal that you hit your first losing streak in December. But what you don't have to win this game. You need to take care of your business against the Jets and the Dolphins to win the division. Take the two seed, make sure nothing really bad happens, because we talked about it the other day. My worst case scenario was you lose those games, you fall down the standings, and all of a sudden you're traveling to Denver. And it's an unlikely scenario, but that's what you want. You want, even if it's Houston, avoid having to go on the road, right? Host it. Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing Robert Kraft, we talk a lot about home gates and things like that. Don't you think Robert Kraft wants to get back in the business of hosting home playoff games? Isn't that kind of part of the agenda here?
Yeah, and that's sort of part of why any sort of speculations about like saving money on contracts and incentives to me seems crazy, because no matter what they spend this year, even if they have to spend more, I know they didn't make a lot of trades or really any at the deadline. I'll get to that later in the 3-point, but I think Mr. Kraft has seen a full house all over again. They're flexed back into primetime, another goal of the organization, and now a home playoff game. That is a seven-figure revenue generator, baseline profit for the team. Like, that's massive. Of course they want to return to glory in that capacity.
And I also think, and I know we're going to be talking, if they lose this game, Monday is going to be interesting. Monday is going to be really interesting for a Patriots Monday. But you lose to Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. On paper, is that a bad loss? Like, in Baltimore to Lamar Jackson, not a bad loss. To Josh Allen, not a bad loss. I know it's not ideal that they come back-to-back late in the season when you had gone on a 10-game winning streak, but those aren't bad losses, especially when I look around the NFL, and it seems like week after week I'm questioning losses. Oh, there's a team that's supposed to be good, and they lost the game this weekend. Yes, Dan Ball.
Well, good afternoon, boys, by the way. Happy Friday. It's not a bad loss for a team that doesn't have Super Bowl aspirations, but if you want to win a Super Bowl, losing to Lamar Jackson, a 7-7 Ravens team, and a hurt and sick Lamar isn't a great loss.
It's not a great loss, but I don't think it's a bad loss. It's
you
not,
really don't?
No, I don't. I don't, because I think they're getting healthier. I think they're playing a little bit better football, and you still have an offensive player of the year type running back and an MVP type quarterback. Like, on any given,
he's such a homer. He's such a homer.
No, he's right. And Andy, like, this is an MVP.
One homer to another. Thanks for the support, Fitz. Appreciate
you're welcome. Yeah. Yeah. On top of it all, like, you know, I had the pleasure this morning on the old Six Rings podcast of talking to Jeremy Kahn from the morning show on 105.7 The Fan, our sister station in Baltimore. And there's this growing sense of belief that this is going to be the game that Lamar breaks. Now, of course, they've been telling themselves that every week, but they have a lot of confidence against the Patriots defense, considering how banged up it is. And it could be a big Derrick Henry day and a big Lamar Jackson day.
617-779-7937 if you want to join the conversation. How you feeling about this football game? Is it a must win, apparently? Need to win, like the 508? Is it, you know, you'd like to win it? It certainly buffs up your resume and gives you a little momentum, a little bounce back. I will add that factor in there as well. If you're going to talk all week about bouncing back and seeing what happens on Sunday Night Football, not just us, Fitzy and Hart on the Six Rings postgame show, but Mike Vrabel at his press conference talking about, yeah, we'll see. Is it good for us? I'll check in on Sunday night to see if it's good for us. But there's a lot of factors in this game. The health of the Ravens, the health of the Patriots, momentum, the environment that I think could be difficult for Drake May. I think this is an interesting environment, and I want to actually talk to Jeremy Springer about that, the environment in terms of young special teamers. What if this could be a close game? Andy Borogalis, a close
cold game in Baltimore late in the year? Like, how do you prep for that? So this is still a young football team. So I think there are factors in this game that it wouldn't be the worst loss in the world. And maybe that makes me a homer or a honk, or I've gone soft in my old age, or the holidays are getting to me and my heart could has grown three sizes. I don't know.
Nog consumption as well. But Andy, we asked a couple weeks ago, did we believe a little adversity would go a long way with this team and that they need to clear a couple other hurdles, go over some speed bumps, and get battle tested for the playoffs? You know, you could argue as much that, well, you know, going on the road and going toe-to-toe with an MVP candidate and one of the best runners in the NFL, that's what they need. And if they lose, that's okay. They'll learn to deal with adversity. They'll have lost two games in a row. Doubt will set in amongst the national media. They'll be hearing the chirping of critics heading into Christmas. Can they bounce back from that, start a new winning streak after the holidays, and then, you know, build some momentum going into the playoffs?
And I said to you yesterday, we look back when you're making like those DVDs, those three games to glory, and we're writing retrospectives on teams that go on nice playoff runs. Well, you know, what fueled that? They could lose these two games, go on a postseason run, and we'll say, you know what? They found out what it took to play playoff caliber football in those losses to the Bills and the Ravens.
Yeah.
They learned in December what would help them in January. Isn't that possible? I mean, that was a playoff game on Sunday, right? Can we all agree that was a playoff
game? Last Sunday?
Yeah.
Yes, and it was super entertaining until it stopped being fun.
Correct. And there was a playoff football game played last night, and we'll get to that. A great playoff caliber football game, played last
awesome.
Night. There's a playoff caliber game, in my opinion, that's going to be played on Sunday Night Football. That's part of why this game was flexed. Drake May and the Patriots are good enough to be in the conversation with a desperate, needy Baltimore team that's trying to get in the playoffs. So you lose those two, we could look back on this and say this is where they found themselves, tested their mettle. We've had that over the years, right? We always had Shaughnessy, the tomato, one tomato can after another, and they never have to prove their mettle, right?
Well, this is good. This will shut up the whole product of the schedule crowd if they go to Baltimore and go toe-to-toe and they're not blown off the field. And that would a win Sunday night would also prove that they might have fallen asleep at the wheel, Josh Allen, super suit, et cetera, last Sunday. And again, I cannot stress this enough, Andy. They're so banged up. If Carlton Davis, Marcus Jones, Robert Spillane all don't play, in addition to Milton Williams, whoa.
Don't forget Harold Landry. Harold Landry's in that mix as well. He's also a guy that missed 2 days of practice this week on the practice field. So, yeah, we're going to get into the health. We'll get into the matchup and the various aspects of run defense versus run offense and preparing to face some runs that the Bills used against you because Derrick Henry can do those things and it's a copycat league. I'm sure we'll have some of that. There's a lot of interesting storylines to build up to a very big football game on Sunday night in Baltimore with Lamar fighting for his playoff life and Drake May trying to stay in the MVP race too. I know he poo-poos the individual awards, and we all do, but if you watch that performance last night with Matthew Stafford, look at some of his numbers. If Drake wants to stay in the conversation, well, be nice to have a nice primetime breakout game of his own on Sunday night. But as we said earlier, it is a Patriots Friday, and that means we go to the guest line to talk to one of the Patriots coordinators. This week, Jeremy Springer is brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery, as well as expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com, by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots, and by Cape Cod Lumber, your number one timber tech supplier, number one in premium decking. Coach Springer, how are you?
Man, how many ads do you guys have?
Well, you're a popular guy. Yeah. You're bringing in the coin. You're doing a hell of a job. I appreciate it.
Man, we'd be swimming in it if we could talk to you every day, Jeremy.
Oh, no. I appreciate you guys having me on. I hope you guys are doing great.
We are doing great, and those niceties make it harder for me to start off with a negative question, but I got to do it.
Come on.
The kickoff coverage last week, I think it's safe to say, wasn't up to your preferences, your standards, the standards you've set.
Nope.
What happened there? I know Coach Vrabel alluded to maybe they did a couple things you guys hadn't seen before, and then there was an adjustment period, but how do you explain the lapses in kick coverage?
Well, you know, obviously you're hit up the head on nail right there. We had a poor game, and honestly, like, I always look at it myself, like, how do we help the team, man? How do we help the team win? And we didn't do our part in that sense. And they had a couple wrinkles they hadn't shown all year, and they came out with a great game plan, And we didn't adjust well. And when I say we, I say myself. And it's always like going back to drawing board like we have this week and figure out a great plan for our players, make sure they feel comfortable out there and they can play fast. At the end of the day, we're covering every kick now, and we're going to continue to cover every kick. And those things are going to happen. You're going to have negative plays when you're covering every kick. We just got to be able to limit those. And in those games of those magnitude, like it was this past weekend, we can't allow Josh Allen to have a short field, and we did that three times. And it's just a poor performance. But it always starts with myself. What can I do better? Because our guys are bought in. They're doing a great job, man. They're selfless. They work their tails off. And I just want to make sure I can give them a good plan every week. And we went back to the drawing board this week, got some things figured out, and hopefully – you know, come prime time on Sunday night, we put that together and go back to the standard we've been doing all season long.
Jeremy, last night, once again, in prime time, we saw what a difference special teams can make, especially when team.
Yep. Unbelievable.
And yeah. I hope you had a chance to watch a lot of that game because it was awesome.
I did. Yeah, I can't sleep anymore because it's December football, so I don't sleep anyway. So I'm just thinking about football all day.
You don't strike me as a guy, even though you probably know sleep is good for you, that sleeps a lot because you got so much energy.
Oh, man, it's... this time of the year, man, it's like it's hard to sleep. But I saw the whole game, man. That fourth quarter, man, was special teams. And I told our players this morning, I said, like, guys, these games are going to come down. And you think for 1 second that game was not decided because of special teams, you got me crazy. Like, special teams was the factor in that game.
That's exactly what I was going to get to. Like, we saw exactly how huge special teams can be. Like, Shahid's punt return started tilting the table back in favor of the – it was the spark, just like Marcus has been the spark for you guys a bunch of times.
Yes.
So I was just curious if you saw it and what kind of – what you may have taken from that game and brought to the boys today.
Well, not only that, but it was able to reemphasize the fact that, in my opinion, if we covered better Sunday, we would have won that game because I just feel like we had all the momentum in the world. And it just shows you, like, you give up a big return, you give up big returns in games like that, you give all the momentum to that team. And when they have really good quarterbacks and really good players and a really good team, you just can't do those things. And that's where, again, that's our job. That's, you know, I chose to be a special teams coordinator. These players are here that we choose to play special teams. We're going to be judged on these one plays and these one, two, or three plays out of the game. And we just got to make sure we got to do our part. And it's going to be critical, man. On Sunday, the Baltimore Ravens are a very good special teams unit. They always have been. Their head coach was a former special teams coordinator. They're built that way, and it's going to take a great effort from myself and our team to put together and flip the field and get good field position and take care of the ball, possess it, and give the ball back to Drake with room to go and then help our defense out with good field position.
So we always talk about copycat league, especially on offense and defense. Oh, this team did this against Drake. I bet you somebody else will run those same pressures or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
How much do you expect whatever wrinkles the Bills throw at you to be part of what the Ravens do? And how do you adjust to those things on the fly? How difficult is it to adjust on the sideline to something maybe you weren't expecting?
You know what? Like, I do expect, you know, some of the same things we had issues with the past game probably to come up here in the Baltimore game. And that's how it should be. Coaches are going to say, well, if that works, why not? Why are we not going to do it, right? So you'd be dumb not to do it. During a game, sometimes it can be hard just depending on, you know, how much time you have to talk to everybody on the team, how fast the game's moving. But, you know, a lot of our guys are professional athletes. We can make those judgments. We got the iPads now. And, again, I think it just comes down to myself first and foremost and just getting our guys better prepared. And if we're better prepared throughout the week and we have the right mindset going into the game, and then we should be lights out and be the standard we have been all season, because on kickoff we've been phenomenal. And, you know, we can't let one game define us. It's a very competitive league. And those things are going to happen. Just got to come back and raise the bar next game.
I know injuries have been a big deal this week with some key players on both sides of the ball and potentially special teams as well, nicked up and missing practice. If Marcus is unable to go or is compromised due to an injury, what is the contingency and or who would possibly take over returning punts Sunday night?
We got a number of guys. If Marcus doesn't go, then, you know, we got – the guys that have been back there all season long working for us. You know, you got Kyle Williams, you got Pop DeMaro Douglas, you got Chisholm. Those three guys that are on our 53-man roster, and even Schooler, man. Schooler can do it all. So we got a bunch of guys that can go back there, catch the ball, get us out of the game if we need to. And if Marcus can't go, he can't go. Next guy up. That's the way it is in a long season. And we always pride ourselves on just always preparing like we're the starter. So whoever we have up back there, we expect them to do a good job against a very good team in the Baltimore Ravens, and we go out there and execute and do our job and no letdowns.
Patriots special teams coordinator Jeremy Springer here on a Patriots Friday on WEEI Afternoons. Your unit is not the only one by far that is looking to bounce back this week. You know, sort of all three phases had their issues that I'm sure they're looking to bounce back from in that loss to the Bills. I think you're an expert on energy. From what I've seen, been around you, how has the energy been this week? You know, how has the reaction to a rare loss? You guys had gone, what, 83 days without a loss. How have you felt the energy has been around the team, the building, the meeting room, all of it?
Man, you know what? What's so good about the way Vrabel has handled this team and this culture that he's instilling into his organization is, man, whether we've won or lost this year, we just come back to work. We come back to work like we're 0-0, like we haven't won, we haven't lost. Correct what we need to correct it, and always have that edge when we're in the meeting room, we're in the team room, we're on special teams, we're on O&D. Just have that edge to go to work. Because at the end of the day, again, it's a competitive ass league. Like this thing is hard, man. When I coached college, you know, the weeks you play Division I AA or this, you're like, all right, it's a kind of a mini bye week in a way, right? At this level, man, everyone's good. Everyone's competitive. Every coach is competitive. Every player's competitive. Everyone wants to eat and have a good time. So you're going to have those dang things. We just can't let that linger. You got to get the things corrected and just go to work, man. That's kind of what we do here. And it really just hasn't felt any different other than the fact that, hey, we got a big time game. We put ourselves in this position, and now it's go out there and execute. And we got to have a good plan as coaches, and we got to help our players out and make sure they feel comfortable out there. And that's what we've been doing.
The environment on Sunday night should be pretty juiced, pretty spectacular. I'm not sure if you've coached down there, but that can be one loud, hostile environment as well. Temperatures with the real feel should be in the teens. It should be windy. Anything extra you guys did this week to kind of get the boys prepared for what should be a unique football experience in December around the holidays?
Yeah, we work in Foxborough, Massachusetts. We just went outside. I feel like it's so weird here being from where I'm from, where I've coached in my career. It's like every day we go outside and practice, it's like a different weather type of day. It's cold, it's windy. I mean, it sucks. So, like, we're prepared. Like, and in terms of that, I can tell you right now, like, those kind of things, you know, we're not affecting us. Our kicker specialists are working in it. Our returns are. So we got to go out there and execute, just like the Baltimore Ravens got to go out there and execute. So I'm excited. It's going to be fun, a lot of energy, Sunday night football, and another chance for us to play together and not really chase anything else other than just we're going to chase a win. So chase a win, go get a win, and hopefully make everyone back here proud.
So with a pair of specialists who are rookies, your kicker, your long snapper, they're experiencing some of this for the first time, right? Like going to Baltimore, Sunday night football. Oh, it's cold. It's this. It's windy. How do you do anything game day, pregame, to help work those guys through it? Or is it one of those things where you don't want to emphasize it too much because you don't want them sort of fixating on it? What's the process like with some young specialists as they go through things for the first time?
You know, that the great thing about, again, living out here is we're getting a lot of that stuff throughout the week. And so when we get into the game, you know, our guys are always out there early pregame, and there's a lot of dialogue between myself, Tom Quinn, our other coach, and our specialists, just figuring out, all right, when we're going this direction, where do we want to punt the ball? When we're going this way, where do we want to kick off? You know, with our snapper, how wet are the balls? So, like, we're always in dialogue pregame, trying to figure everything out so that we have a good plan once the game starts. But for the most part, like I said, kicking up here, practicing up here, we get a lot of taste of that throughout the day. I mean, weekly. So we're pretty prepared when we come to the game. Again, it's the end of the day. They got to go out there and perform. They're professional athletes. And same thing with myself. I got to go out there and perform and give them a good plan and go from there.
Safe to say, I can assume that a big win on Sunday night with a tremendous special teams performance is right atop your holiday wish list. But since it is that time of year, Jeremy, you know, perfunctory radio guy question to you. What is your favorite thing about the holidays? Meals, presents, whatever. Do you have like a favorite gift you ever got? Something like that?
You know what? My favorite thing about the holidays is how happy people are, to be honest with you. Like from Christmas to New Year's, I just feel like everyone's in a really good mood. And I think because you're around family, your community, and the people you love. Obviously with us in football, we're around each other because we're still playing and doing things like that. But I get really happy for the people because I see the smiles on their faces, and it just seems like it's always been my favorite time of the year, Christmas and New Year's. When I was in college or I was a young adult, New Year's Eve is my favorite day of the year, because I'll just party all night and then, you know, enjoy it as much as I can to the New Year's. And it was a good time. But I do enjoy just everyone being happy and being around the families and the community.
So earlier they asked Brendan Schooler, your special teams ace, what he thought of eggnog. So I'm going to ask the coach that. Yeah. You an eggnog guy? Do you spike it with an energy drink so you get a little buzz out of it? How's that work?
Nah, see, that to me, this is this thing about the Northeast. Like, where I'm from Texas, no one drank eggnog in Texas. Like, no one even talks about eggnog. You only hear about it. I think it's a Northeastern thing. It's just so cold up here. You guys are so dark and cloudy, so you guys need a little more alcohol to spark your energy up. So it's like, you guys just love it so much. So I've never in my life had eggnog in my life. I still had it.
Whoa. So you got to change that.
That's it. We're coming down the stadium
Monday.
A tankard. Yep.
Whiskey, eggnog, us, you, we're doing it.
Dude, just come to my office, and if we get a win, for sure, please, you better come to my office. And if we get a lose, I'll probably be depressed. I'll be depressed anyway, so just come no matter what.
Well, I think Bruce Arians used to say it, right? Win or lose, we booze, so we'll talk to you Monday,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right,
yeah,
good.
Exactly. I need to try it. I do need to try it, though.
All right, man, we appreciate not only today but all year. You've been a lot of fun to talk to. I hope you have a happy holiday. Merry Christmas. More importantly, or most importantly, good luck on Sunday night in Baltimore, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, no doubt, man. You guys have a good one. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Jeremy Springer here on WEEI Afternoons. Not an eggnog guy, but willing to become an eggnog guy. I like that. You got
to
try new things.
He's willing to try it. Like, he's an adventurous soul. I appreciate the fact that he is. And also, like, it makes sense. Like, who the hell is going to drink eggnog in Texas? Like, it's 75 degrees there.
I've said that to Dan Ball. I love eggnog maybe as much as anyone, but I would never drink it any other time of year. It's just cold weather, holidays, and then boom, you put it away. Because, yeah, you go to the beach and you're like, hey, who wants an eggnog? It's 85, baby.
Yeah, nice eggnog on the boat doesn't quite have the same ring to it.
Yeah, sit on the beach and pour a nice, thick stout.
How awesome is that guy, though? Like, how can you not root for that guy?
Awesome. And that's why I'm rooting for the special teams. Have a nice bounce-back week. Let's cover some kicks. Let's get a returner back there that can maybe give you a big play a role in the game, and maybe steal a win. That would be fun. We do need to get to the injuries, though. He alluded to it. He could have some changes on his units there. Patriots could have some changes, significant changes on defense. We need to talk about this Patriots practice and injury report up next here on WEEI.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Afternoons. If you're watching on Twitch, I feel like a Vikings fan. For some reason, I'm doing like the skull clap above my head.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. It just felt natural. Sometimes, Fitzy, you know how it is. We're performers. The music just gets in you and you just go.
That's my motto, baby. Steer into it.
Just go where the music takes you, where Mariah takes you. It's a great song. Great album. The Queen. Queen of Christmas music, and that is not debatable, Rich Keefe. Kelly Clarkson can stick it.
One song makes her the queen?
No. The album is phenomenal. her album, and then even the follow-up album, she had like a, I don't know, Christmas 2 or something, is also got...
Why oh, there was Christmas Strikes Back.
Christmas 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, I don't know what it was.
Revenge of the Christmas Elf. Yeah, I remember that was a good one.
So, Dan Ball, can we revisit some of that information that Mike Vrabel offered up in his press conference regarding this extensive and critical injury report for the Patriots?
Yeah, thank you for listening to The Trending, too. So Robert Spillane is out, already been ruled out, which is not all great that, given the caliber of tackling that we saw last weekend. And then four members of the defense are questionable. Harold Landry, Carlton Davis, Marcus Jones, and Christian Barmore.
So just those four? That's it?
Just those four.
NBD.
So your best pass rusher, right, your best slot corner, your best defensive tackle who's healthy, and your veteran corner. Oh, that's cool.
So that leaves you with Christian Gonzalez as well as Charles Woods and Miles Battle as your healthy yet to be activated corners on Sunday.
So how do we feel about this? And we'll get into this a little bit later with Ted. They missed two full days of practice. They were DNPs on Wednesday and Thursday. You get back out there, you're questionable. Okay, maybe you get on the field, but in what shape are you? Because let's go in reverse order, though, the Spillane thing. He dressed last week. He was an emergency guy on the sideline. Now he's out. Now he's not going to dress. Now he's not even capable. And I was joking earlier, Fitzy, in the week, this Chad Mumma like he could be in the mix. And I don't know, you know, Vrabel's talking about, well, you got to find guys that have played in an NFL game and can help you in an NFL game. And it's like
NFL, we're looking, this is the Devontae Bosby of linebackers. If you know, like, this is not great, Andy.
No. And you're going up against the most dangerous on paper. I know they haven't been that this year. Mesh point in football, Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. They can put any linebacker in a bind. I don't care who you think the best is, Bobby Wagner, Matt Milano, like whoever you think is like a middle linebacker that you would, Ted Johnson in his prime, they could put any, and Chad Mumma could be on the field. And no disrespect to Dr. Gibby, but there was a little bit of a drop off last week. Can we agree to that?
Can we also with the doctor, like the guy is a serviceable, like he's not Shea McClellan, for God's sake.
You're taking
he's
back his doctor degree?
Yeah, that's it. That's right.
Nurse Gibby?
Yeah, NP Gibby, Nurse Practitioner Gibby, Physician PA Gibby. He's a fine linebacker. Like, we talk him up like he's some Foxborough legend or something. He's doing a nice job this year. I'm glad they have him. But I hate to say it, Jelani Tavai, Chad Mumma, and, you know, Dr. Gibbons or Physician's Assistant Gibbons, I'm sure probably are not going to keep Todd Monken, Derrick Henry, and Lamar Jackson up at night.
Nope. And none of those guys are going to get blown up by Christian Ellis to set some tone. Like, I love Christian Ellis trying to be physical, but it's one thing to blow up Jackson Dart or what's his name, Gunnar Olszewski. Can you do the same to Derrick Henry, the guy who embarrasses people who try to hit him high? You try to hit him high, and usually you end up on your back, and he's running down, and then you'll be on the highlights of social media and TikTok for a week or a month. So this health issue, and their passing game is not great, but they have competent receivers. Like, Zay Flowers is a good receiver. And if you go out there with Charles Woods and who's the battle guy? What's the first name of the battle guy? Miles Battle?
Yeah.
No disrespect, but Miles Battle, like, I'm not really looking for you to play on Sunday Night Football. Yes, Dan Ball?
You also have Kobe Minor, who you drafted in the 7th round this year, and Brandon Crosley, who you signed as a college free agent, who I would imagine would get elevated for this one. But again, that's just adding to the quote-unquote depth you have.
Is this
there
like
right
letter
now.
Day, where we're just going to promote all these guys so they can get their varsity letter by playing against the Ravens on Sunday Night Football?
Not on purpose, but the answer's still yes.
We're trying to win a damn football game in Baltimore. So, Fitzy, I don't know how you feel, and we'll obviously get at the end of the show. We always make our picks, final score and everything in this game. This right here is a significant factor in the way I will be picking this football game. The health of this football team, the depth. Remember when we said they weren't deep to start with?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, well, that's really starting to be tested for this football team. And I also think it's hard to believe all those guys are going to play. Like, they're not out, so they have
and
a chance
to
do,
play. If they do, they're hurt. Some of them are going to be compromised. They're not. They can't be at 100%, Andy, if they miss two full days and they limp back into practice on Friday. Like, look, they'll be gamers. Some of those guys will find certain ways to make it happen, Captain, on Sunday night, but it's just, It's a strike against the Pats going into this big game.
I know teams, coaches would probably never admit to this, but you have to think, as people that have been around football for a long time in a lot of roles, you almost kind of need to go to Marcus Jones and Carlton Davis and be like, I legit need one of you. Which one of you is healthier? I get one of you might not. I can't have both of you not play. So one of you needs to go see the guy like, behind the curtain who has a shot for you.
Miyagi hands ass. On one of yes. you guys, yes.
You like I can't envision them having a lot of success if both of those corners are not on the field. And then you mentioned it with Jeremy Springer, the trickle-down effect. You lose your punt returner if it's Jones who's now on the field. And, you know, now all of a sudden we have to see Efton Chisholm or Kyle Williams. I don't know how many times Kyle Williams has returned a punt in 30-degree weather on Sunday Night Football.
He's
in front
got
of a
electric speed, and he's a playmaker, but also, like, he doesn't have Marcus Jones's savvy and yeah. veteran experience.
You want
and, like,
him on the 8-yard line making the decision as to whether return it, not return it, catch it, maybe I catch it, muff it, like... There's a lot of issues with the health of this football team, so we'll continue to break that down. But we did want to touch on a big game from last night. Fitzy, you were talking about it with Coach Springer. He was all jazzed up, doesn't sleep anyway, so who cares? He can stay up all night and watch great football. Overtime, a little free football. You had Rams, Seahawks, and the Rams, they blew a 2-touchdown lead. So do we now think they're frauds? Are they paper champions out in L.A.? We'll talk about that next. A little Sunday night, Thursday night football recap here on WEEI.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Afternoons.
There's just some of the rules aren't, and like, these guys are lawyers, and like, brother, they want to be on TV too, brother. Like, the game is, you don't think he's texting his friends in the group chat, like, yo, you guys just saw me Sunday Night Football? Like, that was
no way.
Like, that wasn't PI, like, but I called it. I was like,
seriously, they do that?
I mean, these guys are normal human beings too, bro. Like, these guys
I mean,
are
they do
like,
a better job than them.
Dude, am I even joking? Yeah.
Bro, they do.
They're
cheaters, bro. I don't care.
That was Puka Nacua talking about the officiating before last night's game on a live stream. He's had quite a week, as they say in the business. Capped off with a tremendous performance in last night's loss to the Seahawks.
He may have single-handedly won, Andy, a lot of people, their fantasy football semifinals. He was unstoppable at times last night.
12 catches for 225 yards with a pair of touchdowns in a losing effort. His quarterback threw for 457 yards and 3 touchdowns in a losing effort as the Seahawks win in overtime. And you had a delayed gratification 2-point conversion at one point in regulation. And then you had a kind of too easy 2-point conversion to win. The classic example, do you tie the game in overtime or you go for the victory? Well, Mike
McDonald
went for the victory and got an easy touchdown to win 38-37 in a really fun football game. Now, the officiating, as I brought up, if you didn't see it, there was a 2-point play where Sam Darnold...
That was wild.
The call was right. It was a backwards pass, right? Can we all agree on that? Like, I feel
it
like
was.
How they got to the call is typical NFL, like, How'd you get to that call? How come that wasn't on the field? How come? So the play happens to, what's it, Charbonneau? Is that his name?
Zach Charbonnet.
Charbonnet. A swing pass, but it's a backward pass. It's batted down by, I think, Jared Verse. And the ball just kind of, you know, no one cares. It rolls toward the goal line, and Charbonnet just kind of picks it up. And then everybody's like, oh, that stinks. Hey, could have used that two-point conversion. And then sometime later they decide, actually, they got that two-point conversion. It was a backward pass. That's a fumble. It's a live ball. He picked it up. He scored. Clear recovery, end zone. And this is another one of those where how this all came about, because no one was arguing. If you watch the original play, Fitzy, one cared. No one cared.
But who started the conversation? Was that replay assist?
Yeah, I believe it was. I believe it was.
Yeah, it hit him. I think either got knocked down. It didn't hit him in the head. I think it may have been Verse with the hand up.
Yeah.
And it was definitely going backwards. Even by the ever so slightest angle. When you saw the overhead, it was like, oh, that's a lateral.
Yeah.
And the fact that Charbonnet had the wherewithal to just like, well, why don't I pick this up just in case and then get caught? Like, imagine if Seattle found out, oh, that was a lateral. You guys did nothing with it. You don't.
Right.
You know,
and that,
like,
that was key.
They'd have been kicking themselves.
What do they always say? Like a clear recovery or something. Yep. They always say on video review.
Well, also play through to the whistle.
Absolutely. And they got it right. How they got it right, I don't know. But Puka Nacua also had to apologize for an anti-Semitic gesture, apparently, on a live stream. And there's also a story out there that his brother has been involved with some stuff in L.A. So Puka Nacua with a really, really interesting week. And then after the game, the 38-37 loss, Nacua tweeted, "Can you say I was wrong? Appreciate you, Stripes, for your contribution, LOL." I don't think he's really laughing out loud. I think that's sarcasm. Mm-hmm. I'm not great at reading sarcasm in tweets, but that certainly felt like sarcasm. And I think we may get into the officiating in general a little bit later. Today is a Furzocco Friday, and I think Brian Furzocco has some thoughts because...
You didn't have to remind me. I had Google Calendar, Apple Calendar. Like,
oh, yeah.
I know. I have all my alarms set. It's appointment listening, bro.
It's a big day, but a lot of people are calling that the game of the year last night on Thursday Night Football.
They did on the table. Did you hear them? They've had some really fun games on TNF over the last couple of years, Andy. And they were all saying, like, that might have been the game of the year. I mean, as far as entertainment value goes, I got everything out of that game and then some. Sam Darnold plummeting to the depths, crapping the bed, throwing reds.
Oh, my
red
God. The one he threw to 91 or whatever, the defensive lineman, was, I thought it was like, you know, seeing ghost Sam Darnold again. Like, this guy stinks. This guy's going to lead a team to the playoffs. And then, well, now that guy's the one seed in the NFC.
And how good is Jaxon Smith-Njigba? But that kid is so fluid. He gets open so easy. What an awesome talent. It's insane how Ohio State is able to just churn out. Like, you have the two best rookie running backs, both from Ohio State this year. You've got the other guy that might win Offensive Rookie of the Year, wide receiver from Ohio State. The now considered best receiver in football, wide receiver, Ohio State. The best player in college football right now, wide receiver, Ohio State. Like, it's nuts.
Yeah, somebody should make Ryan Day an NFL GM. He's really good at buying talent. He just gives out large contracts to really talented kids, and it works. 617-779-7937. What did you think of Thursday Night Football? How do those teams compare to your Patriots? Up next, though, it is time for our three-point stances. Ted will join the fun, and after the long tease, I'm going to pay off my must-see players in all of sports. Not a list that's as long as you'd think it'd be. That's next here on WEEI.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.